Father, I ask you to touch each person right now where they are, Lord, and speak to them what they need, Lord. Reveal to each person the thing they need today, the thing you have for them. And I just ask you to provide all that's needed for all of us, Lord, right now. And once again, Lord, I ask you to help me now and use me as you see fit in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, once again, we've arrived at the book of Leviticus, Vayikra, which is show of hands. Who would name Vayikra as their favorite book of the Bible? Okay, I'm assuming some of the people whose faces I cannot see on the screen have raised their hands now. Because I can't imagine that nobody among us names it as their favorite book. I'm slightly kidding. I got to say, I love the book of Leviticus, and I'd like to love it more. I'm planning on spending a little more quality personal time, Leviticus and I, together during this very unusual season. The book is about a lot of interesting things, but primarily it's really about, I'll just read you the line out of a very old Chumash where it says, fundamental concepts. One half of the book deals with sacrifice and the laws that safeguard the priestly character of Israel, and the other half with holiness and the sanctification of human life. To me, that sounds kind of like it's saying that the first half deals with holiness and the second half deals with holiness. Without safeguarding the priestly nature of Israel, which ultimately is the nature of the body of Messiah and embodies the calling of the new humanity in Messiah, without safeguarding that, then I don't know what holiness could be brought to human life. So the book is really about holiness, but it has a lot of things that people shake their heads about and wonder about. And one of the interesting things about it in reference to the world currently is that Leviticus talks about being very careful about a whole bunch of things. Some of them you can't see. It's really interesting. I mean, why worry about what you can't see, right? Why be concerned about it? Things that you can't see can't hurt you, right? That's why it's so common that people say, I'll see it, I'll believe it when I see it, right? So we've been hearing a lot about this thing called, I don't remember the specific name of the coronavirus that we're dealing with. What? SARS-CoV. That's what it is. COVID-19 is what it causes in people. So have any of you seen it? Now, you might say, well, yes, because you've seen representations of it, the various different colors and things that depict what it, I guess, looks like. But none of us has seen it. And have you ever found that it's difficult to be careful about touching something that you can't see and you don't even know whether or not it's there? It can be like you could be so vigilant that you don't want to touch anything. Or you could get so kind of worn out and tired by the whole concept that you just figure, well, it isn't anywhere, or what can I do anyway? So I'm just going to do whatever, right? It was interesting, after about a month-long lapse, just not long ago, maybe yesterday, I guess, I got a reply from a Korean friend of mine who lives in Seoul. And this was what I had sent to him. Hello, Kyung Soo. How are you doing with all that's happening? Now, this was about a month ago. So then I got this this reply yesterday. Nothing special. With Corona-19, people's activities are selfish. That is human. Ellipsis. What do you think? I was actually, when I sent the message to him, thinking maybe of getting a sort of a personal reply. But he made a broad spectrum observation about humanity. With COVID-19, people's activities are selfish. That is human. What do you think of that? I found it very interesting. So I do like the book of Leviticus. I encourage all of you to like it better than you apparently do. Who likes it a little bit? Show of hands. Oh, there is some glimmer of hope here. So from what's called the modern perspective, the book seems to talk a lot about avoiding things that can't be seen, that perhaps don't even exist. Lots of attention to being to avoiding becoming unclean, and the thing is, the kind of uncleanness that's being spoken of there in some places is it can't even actually make you sick. It doesn't make a in each instance, it doesn't necessarily cause a stain on your clothes or a burn on your skin or an infection inside your body. It's kind of mysterious, and some of it can be seen, the evidence of it, some of it can't be seen. And it's not bacterial or viral, but you can't see it. It has no exactly no physical effect, really, but yet you can transmit it to somebody else by touching them. Yeshua and Paul and others warn us about things that we can transmit to others with our attitude or with the words we speak, or even by not doing some things, you can transmit something. So there's a lot to be concerned about. And I've noticed over the last few decades, when I read things that people have written about the times we're in, that they frequently sound the same. Some of them are like well over 100 years old, and observations about the times we're living in and the dire state of things and the way people are and how much worse things have gotten. And I've noticed frequently, they sound kind of the same. It's like, have things always been worse? Are things always getting worse? Are people always getting less and less kind and more nasty? What do you think? Are people just selfish? That's human. What do you think? I'm going to read you a little bit from one thing I found, which isn't from so terribly long ago. The world seems to have taken a sharp turn toward being a harder, colder, and less caring place. Virtues and strengths of character that the Jewish tradition has held out as ideals for millennia are under attack in the public square. Truth, compassion, humility, loving kindness, and generosity are being run roughshod by lies, hatred, arrogance, and self-interest. From my perspective, there's only one thing to do. That is to stay the course. We must continue to be pursuers of virtue. My words sound to me like what a mutual fund manager says to clients when the market is in turmoil. The best investment strategy is to set long-range goals from which you do not deviate just because the market has hit a patch of rough weather. If that is the best investment strategy for money, how much more so is it the right approach when we are talking about the qualities of our very souls? Yogi Berra was bemoaning the weather when he said, "It ain't the heat, it's the humility." It ain't the heat, it's the humility. Maybe it'd be funnier if I said, "It ain't the heat, it's the humidity." If you notice a difference between humidity and humility, please raise your hand. I'm just curious. Okay. All right.
We laughed.
But his slip of the tongue I'm not sure if it was a slip of the tongue. I thought he just did this stuff all the time on purpose, but here it's called a slip of the tongue. But his slip of the tongue provides an accurate description of our current situation. There is so much heat in public conversation. Has anyone noticed any heat in public conversation lately? Yeah, this is from a few years back, but it struck me as pertinent to things I saw people posting and people saying and different things just in the last few days. There's so much heat in public conversation that it is still escalating, but the core issue is not the heated words. It is a lack of humility we are experiencing in some of our leaders. The Torah gives us an amazing model for leadership by naming Moses as the most humble person on the face of the earth. Moses has stood up to the Pharaoh who called down plagues on his oppressors, who put down rebellions and fought wars, who led a slave nation to freedom. Moses was humble. The same idea is carried through to the Jewish king, who was required to write a copy of the Torah and to read from it all the days of his life, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. In a parallel, the Torah gives us the archetype of the arrogant ruler in the Pharaoh, who saw himself as being so far above others that he proclaimed himself the intermediary between the gods and man, and who would himself become divine after death. There's a movement called the Musar movement. It's about Jewish ethics that are based in humility, I believe. Recalculating. Anybody ever hear that when they're using their GPS? I would like to be a more humbler person than I am. It would be a good aim, I think, if we approached it the right way, to wish to be thought of by others as the most humblest person on the face of the earth, but not to pursue that for the purpose of being more humbler than everyone else, because that wouldn't be humility, would it? But to desire to be like Yeshua and to grow in humility because, well, it's pleasing to the Father. It is what Yeshua is like, and the scriptures say that as he is, we are in this world. So developing that certainly seems in order. It happens to say in my desk planner here that I get once a year for this week's Shabbat. There's a little thing called Meaningful Minute. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, falling is part of greatness. Falling is part of greatness. The ultimate failure is not even trying. So, it's possible to give up on becoming humble because one's been so disappointed in themselves so many times. But I think being disappointed with oneself is a sign possibly of the germination of the beginning of humility, as long as from the point of disappointment, we don't just succumb to the temptation to kick ourselves, criticize ourselves, condemn ourselves, and then wallow in it. But the moment of realizing failure is an opportunity to act in humility. You understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of times when, because, well, humanity is selfish. We've got that in us. Perhaps our first inclination is to defend ourselves. It's human, right? But Yeshua, even when he was falsely accused, didn't really have that much to say. He didn't defend himself, so to speak. It's amazing that he even said things like, well, yeah, you're in a big position of power and everything. I'm paraphrasing and adding a little bit. But in answer to the question, like, don't you realize I have the power to, you know, have you executed or let you go? Like, oh, well, you know, you wouldn't have any power at all unless it was given to you by my Father in heaven. He knew who he was, he knew who he belonged to, he knew what he came for, and he knew that no matter what stood in his path snarling at him, that nothing could defeat him. And that is what all of us know about our own life in Yeshua, isn't it? We don't feel that way maybe every moment, but it's the truth. Someone read that we are more than conquerors. Who was that, John? I think it was. More than conquerors. There's nothing that can separate us from Messiah Yeshua. There's nothing that can snatch us from God's hand. Not even death can defeat us. We are more than conquerors, and believing it makes it even more so. And believing it while facing whatever we're facing at the moment makes it so on the ground. So I'm going to read you a few scripture passages in the 12 minutes and 51 seconds that I have remaining to make sure that I get there. So this is one that I've been thinking about lately since this virus came along. And, you know, the funny thing is the virus was here probably before we were hearing about it. It was certainly in Wuhan before they started talking about it. What has arrived sometimes has arrived without our notice, and we can be quite comfortable and go on as though everything is the same, even though things are changing in a way that's invisible to us. So this is what it says. By the way, there were a lot of people that had plans at that time in Wuhan. There were a lot of people that have had plans here. We had plans. There were things we thought we were going to do that we haven't done since this whole thing started. How many of you get up in the morning thinking, well, I don't really know if that thing I'm planning is actually going to happen later this afternoon or not? Maybe I'll just pray about it and make sure my head's in the right place. We probably all do it sometimes. And then sometimes we may go stretches where we don't do it at all. This is what it says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Or we will go to the park and we will start a fire and we'll make steaks and roast hot dogs and maybe sip a little rosé or some Shiraz or something, and we'll enjoy each other's company and it will be wonderful and it's not going to rain and nothing's going to go wrong. The car's going to start. We're not going to get a flat. Nobody is going to get burnt by a flying spark. It's going to be wonderful. Some of you might remember the mother of all picnics on Jungle Jam. Anyway, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for... I'm offended by that. I'm a vapor? I am just a vapor. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So it is interesting how starkly the current situation outlines what it says in that passage from the book of James, isn't it? There are all kinds of us that thought we knew this thing or that thing, and there are certainly all kinds of people that were going to this city or that city to spend this amount of time and make a whole bunch of money, and it hasn't happened, and a lot of them have lost a whole bunch of money. But they were banking on something other than just Yeshua. Yeshua, you can take to the bank of heaven. Yeshua has given us, the Father has given us his righteousness to our account, and in our account are all the riches of heaven because of what Yeshua has done, and that can't be shaken. And he has what we need. He gives us what we need. It was also read this morning that God gives us freely all things to enjoy. All good things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven through him, from him. So During this time when, to whatever degree each of us is thinking about whether there's a virus on something, unseen, it's unseen. It could be a time also to just ponder humility, which, you know, you can't always see humility either. Just glancing at someone, you can't necessarily see whether they're humble. We don't always see when we have it or when we lack it. We might not notice a whole lot about it, but during this period of time when we're really invited to be very careful about avoiding and controlling and not getting contaminated by this thing that we can't see, perhaps we could add to it a lesson of other unseen things and perhaps see as seeing the unseen, which is what spiritual people of faith did throughout the scriptures. It says in 2 Corinthians 13, says, "But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Yeshua from the dead will raise us also with Yeshua and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." Grace is invisible to a lot of people, but here Paul is writing that it's being spread to more and more people. Not only viruses can be spread, grace can be spread. And we can spread grace, and we can do it even without being able to see people. We have various means of doing it. I had an unpleasant encounter with someone yesterday that I'm not going to tell you at all about, but I had texted my brother about it, and he made a comment about whoever that might have been, which was, it contained the word creep or creeps. And I texted him back and I said, "They need the love of God." And after the encounter, I was thinking, is it possible somehow I could bring the love of God to that person that I had such an unpleasant encounter with as I walked along Lapla Road? I'm sure it's possible. I don't see how it could happen right now, but maybe it could. Maybe if I'm watching, thinking, praying about it, maybe what started that way could turn into something different. At the moment, I'm entirely unsure what that could even amount to, but I'll continue. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then I'm just going to read you a little bit more from the book of James in the first chapter. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." I'm out of time, but I'm going to go just a little longer. Who Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress or to call them on the phone in a time like this, or perhaps pick something up and drop it off outside their place so that they come out and pick it up. There's always a way to do these things, even when you can't do these things. It is this. And to keep oneself unstained by the world. The stain of the world is another thing that oftentimes isn't exactly visible. Can you see it on somebody's clothes? Can you see it stuck to the outside of the car? Can you see it on somebody's face necessarily just by looking at them? There are a lot of things that we talk about, think about, and can't see. And sometimes we cease to think and or talk about some of the things that we can't see. But there are things that we need to have in mind, and these are among them. So, I make a decision here. This world is not our home, but well, we're in it, seeking what pleases the Father and guarding the priestly nature of the people he's made us to be, and seeking holiness without which no one will see the Lord is really what we're to be about. And sometimes sometimes we're invited in the process of seeking to do that to begin to look at things, knowing that there may be things that are invisible to us that we have to be exercising care about, either to develop or to avoid. And given that my friend's statement is true, that people's actions are selfish, that's human. We too, being human, just need to seek the Lord and ask him to help us to become more humbler and to perhaps not enjoy the heat, but not complain about the humility so much or the humidity. You know, there's really a lesson in that for me, because when it's hot and humid, I am the least humilitous oftentimes. Is that a word? Humilitous? It's not my lack of humility, it's the humidity. Please overlook it. I didn't actually just do that. I didn't actually just say that. I am not being a jerk. It's the moisture in the air and the temperature. What do you think? So, in Jude, we're invited to care about people, have mercy on them, even snatch people out of the flames, while hating even the garment that's stained by the flesh, but never hating people. And I can't even tell when I look at a garment if it's stained by the flesh. I'm not entirely even sure what it is to be a garment that's stained by the flesh. If you went through hangers at the thrift store, can you tell which garments are stained by the flesh? Do we have to be concerned when we shop at the thrift store, or maybe even new clothes, whether they're stained by the flesh? Because we don't want to be wearing garments that the scriptures tell us to hate. Well, maybe I shouldn't open that can of garments. Anyway, love people. Avoid sin. Have mercy on them with fear. But exercise care about becoming infected by things that can't be seen among the things that may be tempting at the same time. And ask the Lord to help you to develop both humility and a love for the book of Leviticus during this season. I love you all. This is a very different experience. I'm virtually looking at you, or am I looking at you virtually? It's not really you I see on the screen. But I can see your expressions change based on saying this thing or that thing. So I guess we're connecting in some way. God loves you all so much. He's got what you need. He'll provide what you need. He's providing it now. And let's ask him to, in the midst of this time we're going through, to really show us each how to grab hold of the simple truth and the simple way of life and faith that involves contentment with what we have and what Paul calls joy unspeakable. It's an opportunity as much as it is a trial, I think. So let's give thanks to our Father in heaven, and we'll carry on from there. I guess I should find the blessing here. Father, I ask you to bless all of us today. Encourage us all. If any of us are fearful, Lord, I pray that you calm fears. I ask you to give comfort to those that need comfort. And help us all, Lord, to know how to encourage each other day to day. And we do know that the day of our salvation is drawing nearer. Help us, Lord, to be looking for and waiting for you. Ivarechecha Adonai ve'ishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavel echa ve'ikunecha Yisa Adonai panavlecha Yasem lecha Shalom.